demanded an urgent and horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now, this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, I got a lot of stories to hit here today. Falcons set to interview, or maybe they did interview, Jim Harbaugh for their coaching vacancy. So, do you think it sounds like there is more interest this year than Harbaugh? I thought last year it was weird, Angel. It was like Harbaugh and Sean Payton. Like, those two names kept coming up. But it wasn't like every opening, every team was really interested. In fact, we were really only linking like the Broncos to Sean Payton and then Harbaugh to like two teams. This year, I was kind of shocked. And we just now got the Atlanta Falcons story. But I figured every team that has an opening right now would be sitting down with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I think it's pretty clear that he's accomplished what he wanted to do at Michigan. Now it's get back to the NFL, and can you get back to doing what you were doing when you left?
Yeah. He had that interview with Atlanta. He also sat down with Bill Belichick. That's an interesting thing. They're the most... I think they're friends. They've known each other for a while. Two of the most accomplished coaches, depending on sport, because you look at Harbaugh's career even in the NFL, he's had a really good career. Is he like asking Bill, like, what's the weather like there, man? What's the food like? I don't know. But we'll see what happens with him. Another story, Mike Tomlin tells the Steelers, he tells players and coaches, he told them that he plans to coach the team in 2024. He walked out of the news conference yesterday or 2 days ago. We talked about that when he was asked about it. And now he says he's going to come back at least for next year. He's got the 1 year left. I love what the Steelers do. Since the Super Bowl era, they've had three head coaches in their time, with Chuck Knoll, Bill Cowher, and Mike Tomlin. And even outside of the Super Bowl era, they haven't had many coaches compared to like a team like the Broncos and some of these other teams now. But, Angel, to be fair, Mike Tomlin, I'm a fan of him. You're a fan. Everybody's a fan of him. You're wearing your Steelers shirt today. But does Mike Tomlin get an unfair kind of like pass compared to every other coach?
I wouldn't say so. I think he's a proven winner. No, just because you're a winner doesn't mean you're always winning Super Bowls or you're always being in AFC championship games, but he has built a lasting culture within the NFL. And you think of the Pittsburgh Steelers under Mike Tomlin, you think of obviously Big Ben, and you think of all the greatness that they had together. And a lot of us would have looked at that, okay, now that Big Ben's retired, who is Tomlin?
Mm-hmm.
He's still a winning coach.
He's still
Belichick can't say that about himself.
True. How long has Ben retired? Like 5 years? 4 years?
3 or 4 years.
He's still going to the playoffs. But I do think Tomlin's like George Karl. Now, that's an unfair comparison because Tomlin has a Super Bowl win. But he's close to that kind of deal. Like, if I were Pittsburgh, this is your thing. You hang on to coaches, and he is successful. Just got to figure out how to get over that hump with this team. They had a weird situation at quarterback all year. They've had a weird situation at quarterback since Big Ben called it quits. And yet they still find themselves in the playoffs every single year.
No, they still have one of the top 10 defenses in the league every year. I think offensively they've struggled, as you said, since Big Ben. But I don't know if they've ever gone into a season with the expectation that, okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be in contenders for the Super Bowl. I think it's more of they're going to be a good team. How good are they going to be?
Yeah, so you would stay with Tomlin for as long as he wants to stay there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's probably the right answer.
Like, if they don't get to the playoffs next year, we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, you got
to
start putting...
You need to figure out who the quarterback is going to be.
I think there's two ways of looking at it. I mean, if you're an owner and your team is consistently in the playoffs, like, that's a great thing. Every year we have a shot. We just got to get in. I mean, look at what the
Six Super Bowl rings. Like,
true.
It's an organization. It's kind of like, do we really need another one?
And I admire them. I admire the Steelers for adopting that practice of saying, we're not going to be quick to fire. Now, they've had success, so that certainly helped. I mean, Bill Cowher was good, too.
I mean, you could have fired him after the Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown stuff.
Yeah, you could have thought maybe, okay, there's a common theme here. What's happening? But then you hear the players, and some of these players for Tomlin, man, I mean, they just love him. Hayward's coming out talking about it. Watt's coming out saying, hey, that's our guy. You know, that's the guy we like. So it's not just like a cliche thing or a hip thing to say we all love Mike Tomlin. What's not to love? He's a hard-nosed football coach. He can get aggressive when he needs to. He's not a crazy yeller. He's intimidating. He's respectful, save for walking out on the reporter the other day. I didn't like that. He's kind of the complete package when it comes to head coaches.
Oh, he fits that fan base in Pittsburgh. They love him up there. Obviously, the success speaks for itself, but it's the consistency that we don't see a lot in the NFL.
And that's what, again, what I like about that is as I want to coach, because, you know, Angel, it's all BS when they get hired and they go to a new city. They're all, oh, I love Cleveland. It's amazing. I'm going to be here forever. I love the weather. I love the fans. I love the buildings here. So much history. They're going to say that junk. I want a coach that really feels that. Now, you hear that with Denver. You do hear a lot of guys come here, and then they end up living here afterward because they do love the sunshine that we do get. The occasional snow, good enough just to kind of, you know, shock you once in a while. People do end up liking it. But this is why I love what the Steelers have done on this side is you have Mike Tomlin, a guy that really embodies what Pittsburgh's all about. You know, just this blue collar, no BS, straightforward. I don't know. That's kind of what I think of when I think of Pittsburgh.
No, I think, you know, there's a lot of coaches that fit that. I think Dan Campbell fits with Detroit.
Yeah, like if I'm Detroit, I never want him to go.
Shanahan fits with San Francisco.
He does seem to kind of fit with San Francisco.
McDaniel fits in Miami with
his
style.
His pants.
His capris and
his capris.
Off-the-wall shoes.
And his sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he fits. Yeah, think about that. Who doesn't
fit in Tennessee?
Yeah,
apparently not.
Absolutely fit in Tennessee. Who doesn't fit? Like, Arthur Smith did not strike me as a guy that fit Atlanta.
No.
I don't know why.
I think Pete Carroll fit in Seattle.
Just yeah.
Because I don't mean this in a bad way,
yes.
But it's rainy, it's
yeah.
Depressing, it's kind of gloomy, and Pete Carroll's kind of like the little bit of sunshine that you get.
Yeah.
He can also be that serious guy.
Right. Yeah, he just fits.
McVay fits in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's a good fit. John Harbaugh, he fits Baltimore, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
Sirianni used to fit in Philly. I think they got tired of him at this point.
Yeah, is that heating up? Is that heating up more?
Possibly.
Who else fits here? Let's see. Jonathan Gannon, does he fit Arizona?
I don't know what Arizona's doing.
I don't think he really fits. I don't see the fit. I thought. Why am I having such a hard time?
Who? Shoo.
Yeah, that doesn't fit anywhere.
Shots. Explosives. You can run.
I thought Bruce Arians fit Arizona. Like, that seemed to kind of fit. Sean McDermott in Buffalo? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just be mindful of what you're saying and what state you live in.
I think of like a Buffalo head coach. Big old beard kind of guy. Maybe like a tough big dude like Dan Campbell. Like, snow doesn't bother us.
Like a Brian Daboll type.
Yeah, kind of. Does Daboll fit the Giants?
I don't know. He's been very kind of just under the radar last season.
Yeah, I don't think he fits there. Matt Eberflus, does he fit Chicago?
I don't think anyone fits Chicago.
I don't think he fits Chicago, even though I agreed with the, you know, keeping him. Mm-hmm. Zach Taylor, Cincinnati, does he fit? I'm not talking about success or failure. Does he fit?
Maybe Cincinnati. It's Ohio. So
yeah,
it's
kind of. Kevin Stefanski with Cleveland. Got a great beard.
I guess, yeah. I mean, but it's Cleveland.
Mike McCarthy doesn't fit Dallas.
No.
He doesn't. Dallas, I see a Jimmy Johnson. Like, those are the guys. Was it Jimmy Johnson? Okay, I got that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I just kind of picture swagger, smooth, you know, but not like.
What if you swap? Obviously, McCarthy coached there, but swap McCarthy and LaFleur. Is that a better fit in your mind?
In Dallas? Yeah, I don't think LaFleur, like, fits Green Bay.
Do you need some, like, obviously somebody to counteract Jerry Jones, but could you imagine, like, a like a real Southern coach in Dallas.
Like a Sweeney kind of guy.
Dallas is like the big city of Texas, mm-hmm. but it's totally different from like a Houston where DeMeco Ryans fits in Houston.
Sure. Yeah. You either need the complete opposite of Jerry Jones or you need somebody that's kind of, he's got that flair. He's got that style. Because Jimmy Johnson had that flair, mm-hmm. didn't he? I mean, I think there's just certain guys that fit. And
did Jason Garrett fit in Dallas?
He kind no.
Nope.
No. Did Bill Parcells fit when he was there? He was like your no-nonsense Bill Belichick kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I remember that went south. Like Sean Payton does not fit the Broncos. But then again, the Broncos have found a fit. That just makes sense for Denver.
You need a grizzled guy with a beard.
Mike Shanahan fit. Mm-hmm. You know, his face would turn all red when he was out in the cold. Now it's just red all the time. He'd be in his heavy Broncos coat, and he'd always have that really intense, mad look. But it just fit. Vance Joseph didn't fit. Vic Fangio, he needs to go to Chicago again. Like, he's a Chicago head coach. He makes sense for that. I don't even think he fits with Miami.
I'm almost backtracking on him as well.
Dan Campbell, obviously we talked about that. Matt LaFleur, I just don't think fits Green Bay. That's another one. It's like a Dan Campbell.
It work, though.
Yeah, obviously he's good. It's just like when I think of Green Bay, do I think of really good looking dude with like a perfectly trimmed beard? Mm-hmm. Don't really think.
He's got a nice fade.
Yeah, don't think of it. DeMeco fits. Shane Steichen with the Colts. I don't even know.
I don't know if anyone can really fit in Indianapolis.
Doug Peterson with Jacksonville? He fits Philadelphia.
He fits the Florida retirement type of thing.
Kind of. Andy Reid, Kansas City. He's like the Kool-Aid man. He fits. The big red Kool-Aid thing. Yeah. Mm. You said Sean McVay. Kevin O'Connell, Minnesota. Seems to kind of fit.
I need to see more, but yeah.
Does Gerard Mayo fit New England? He played for him.
It's different. I mean, my only association with New England has always been Belichick.
Belichick, so Patriot way.
It's always been that cold, grumbled, like, Cincinnati.
Dennis Allen fit the Saints?
No. That, New Orleans, you got to have some flair. I think Sean Payton fit for a little while, but mostly because of Drew Brees. But you need a guy that can embrace that kind of party time, we're having fun, hard-nosed football.
How about, we talked about Dable with the Giants. I don't think he really fits. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't make sense to me. Robert Saleh with the Jets. See, Robert Saleh strikes me more of like a Miami guy.
Really?
Or a Dallas, even Dallas. I could see a Dallas thing. Like a popular, like a, one of the big markets anyway. I'm not saying the Dolphins are so extremely popular, but those markets, it just strikes me as a superstar.
It's a tough place to be a coach.
Yeah. It's superstar. You got to be a superstar to be at New York, but the Jets, it's like, you know, the Giants have all the fanfare.
Is that a jet like going down?
Yeah, that was. Giants have all the fanfare because they have the recent Super Bowls. They had Eli Manning. They had, you know, they just have it. You say, Kyle, last one here. Todd Bowles in Tampa Bay. No.
No.
Does not. It just doesn't fit. Whatever that means. That's how we see it. 19 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Stay up to speed with the Rams with the Isaiah Stevens Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Forgotten thoughts of yesterday's through my eyes.
Puddle of mud, huh? early 2000s rock. Puddle of Mud, dude. That's a good band right there. They get it. They totally get it. You know who else gets it? Cable's Pub and Grill. They've got happy hour starting at 3 o'clock every single day. I love Cables. I mean, we talked about Burger Madness yesterday. They always have these great deals. And look forward to tomorrow, Angel. Smothered burritos for $10.99. House margaritas for just $4. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's read a couple of texts here. Big Hub, texting from Georgia. How's the weather there? It's 18, but feels like 7 because of the wind chill. Schools are closed. They don't know how it is in Colorado. How often in Georgia do you get that kind of weather?
Not often. I was talking with a friend yesterday, and he was like, "Oh, it's going to be like negative 14. It's going to be like negative 14 tomorrow." Or he's like, "No, it's going to be 14 degrees tomorrow when I go to work." Mm. Like, I woke up in negative 28 on Monday.
Oh, dude, it was bad. We have one of those HVAC heaters in our. It can be an AC and all that stuff too in our garage. For just because it's freezing in there all the time. And we go out yesterday morning and it stopped working because the external part that's outside, so we had to get a space heater, put it on that unit outside, cover it up with tarps and everything, and then like 5 minutes later it heated it up. But it was so freaking cold. Terrible. Texter Shannon Sharp had a point about Tomlin. You need to win some Super Bowls at some point. Just going to the playoffs every year isn't enough. I mean, yeah, but
they were never expected to win a Super Bowl since, 2015 on.
They haven't. Yeah, they haven't been. But that's a problem,
like
their
best chance was when they had Big Ben, A.B., and Le'Veon.
But that's a problem, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But is it just because it's Pittsburgh? That's how they do it. They don't fire coaches. They're not going to do it. Unless he's the one who decides to go. 1 year, he's definitely going to finish the contract out. But it might be a discussion of, hey, you got 1 year left. We love you. But we got to see some advancement here. We got to see something. Can you get this? Is it Pickett? Can you get him going next year? Now that he's healthy, all that stuff. Because that's a tough division, Angel. That's especially now. It's getting harder to win in that division.
I just was thinking about that. So obviously Baltimore won the division this year. The last 2 years was Cincinnati. Pittsburgh won in 2020. Then it was Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. That goes back to 2007.
All that was probably Roethlisberger saved for the 2020 year, right?
He might have played that year.
Did he play? Was 2020 his last year? I guess it hasn't been that long. It feels like it's been 5 years, man. Feels like we've been without Big Ben for a while already. But yeah, I mean,
he retired in 2022.
He retired in 2022? So, well, he didn't play this season and he didn't play last season. Is that right? So he's only been out for 2 years. Why does it feel like Ben Roethlisberger has been gone for 5 years?
He wasn't really playing as well those last few years.
It's just like, I don't even, it's crazy to me. I mean, I do agree with the Sharp post, with Shannon Sharp saying that. I agree for everybody else, but for Pittsburgh, this is their thing.
But we've talked about how much the turnover in the NFL is at coaches. If you don't win a Super Bowl in 3-4 years, you're gone.
Yeah. Everybody else does it that way.
Mm.
Like, again, the best coaches in this league, you could say it's Andy Reid right now. If the Chiefs get knocked out of the playoffs by the Bills, you are not putting pressure on Andy Reid next year. But you are saying, hey, you got to get this all figured out again. You can't kind of be this 10-11 win team. So, like, they get knocked out by the Bills, and then they win. They get into the playoffs next year, maybe, and get knocked out in the first round. Your expectations are different than everyone else's, because you're expecting to be in the AFC Championship every year. And so they could blow them out after next year if they don't go deep.
So, yeah, just going through like that. So AFC, D'Amico Ryan's, he's fine no matter what. If the Bills lose, what do you do with McDermott?
You have to consider that, because they've been in a window. They've been in the window for 4 years, 3 years, ever since Allen, maybe after his rookie year, they've actually been in a window.
Mm-hmm.
Last year was like the big window. And you underachieved. This year, you were not great to start the season. You got hot, but I would imagine there's a lot of pressure on him. There was a disconnect between Allen and Diggs and all that stuff. That was weird. So I would imagine he's on the hot seat if they lose this weekend. And we could get up to 10 vacancies because we're not at 9 yet. There's two Eagles and Cowboys. We're waiting to see if those are going to be open. But I don't see why, if you're the Bills, you're not trying to find a guy that can get the best out of this because you're wasting time. I know Josh Allen's still young, but you're wasting time. He's not necessarily, I mean, he's still a great quarterback. He's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. But I wouldn't agree with you if you told me he was getting better every year. Mm-hmm. Allen was Allen better this year than he was last year? Has he taken a step?
I think he was at his peak, not his peak, but one of his best was 2 years ago. When he was right there in the MVP conversation.
But this year, obviously, he's had some turnover issues. You know, and that cost him games early on. Now, again, his numbers are still good, but yeah, when you're turning the ball over, that does change how we view you. As far as passing, he was fourth in the league on yards. He had 29 touchdowns and 18 interceptions, though. I always say when you get close to 20 interceptions, that offsets like 10 of your touchdowns almost. I don't know about fumbles. He's fumbled a lot, too. Let's see. Let's take a look at that. He's up there. Where is he? 5. Seems like more. Why does it seem like more?
Well, he's had 59 in his career.
Okay. This year he's had 5. But 5 plus 18
is a lot.
5 plus 18 is 23. Got math? So you've turned the ball over a lot. 12:31 the time. Mark Johnson's coming up next. I got more NFL stuff we're going to hit in the 1 o'clock hour. Playoffs, quarterbacks, all of it. I'm really excited about the division round. It's going to be fun. But we're going to talk some Buffs. Buffs got to come from behind win over USC the other day. I got to get Mark's thoughts on Gage Goldberg, who is Bill Goldberg's son. He's going to be a Buff next year. So we'll catch up with Mark coming up next. 31 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KSKA.
What's he doing? That was good.
Apparently duck hunting.
He can't. Did he pick up the phone?
No, I called his house phone. Wife answered.
God, we got like the intro. Did you call his cell?
I did.
Nothing?
Try him again here. If he's hunting, I don't want to disturb him.
That's true. Like, you could call, right? When what is he, duck hunting? Pheasant hunting?
Apparently duck hunting.
What season is it? I don't know. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, was going to join us, but apparently he's out duck hunting. So we'll get him on here in just a minute. Maybe.
They are playing Oregon on Friday.
Oh, that's fitting. Make sure. I think we got him. Are we going to get him, like, live doing this? Well, that was Bill Goldberg's intro. Mark, we had the setup all for you, man. We came in with Bill Goldberg music, and I was ready for you to, like, you know, do the mic drop moment, and we couldn't reach you, but we got you now. So we'll make do, but we had it all set up for you to enter the ring.
Well, that's awful exciting. I don't know about the Goldberg thing. I can't talk about the specifics, but I'll tell you.
Oh.
Goldberg... if there's some reason, I'm not saying that anybody that's related to him is coming to see you. If Goldberg were to be at a game, I saw a picture of him the other day. I think I could take him at this point.
You know, you're a tall guy. You just got to hit him with one of those, like, long kicks, man. If he can't reach you, he can't hurt you.
Well, listen, he's not a small man either. I saw a photo of him. There's a certain recruit, apparently, that's rumored to be, maybe coming this direction. But he's lost a lot of weight. He's not nearly as big as he used to be.
Yeah. I know you can't speak on it, but I just know that I'm very excited about it. I grew up watching Bill Goldberg, Mark. I was like diehard fan of his. So, Mark, I don't ask you for a lot, man, but a meet and greet, something. If that something weird happens, if you ever run into Bill Goldberg, just, you know, by coincidence, let me know because I'd like to be there for that.
I will do my best. I'm trying. Did he play for the Atlanta Falcons?
He played for the Falcons. We were looking that up the other day. He got drafted by the Rams And then he got out of the league and played for a bunch of, like, you know, minor teams like CFL stuff. And then he got back in the league and actually played for like 4 years or so with the Falcons and developed kind of a relationship with Deion Sanders. Like they were at least kind of cool with each other. So interesting how, again, maybe relationships that you build while you were playing back in the 90s could end up, you know, coming back to produce something positive for you.
Exactly right. Well, that's awful cool. Yeah. No, he was quite a superstar in the wrestling world. And as we know, it's all real. There's nothing.
Oh, Mark, you know he was undefeated at one point. Like, he had the streak going, and he would always yell into the camera and say, "You're next." Like, he was undefeated, and it was real. Like, you know, Ric Flair would slap people on the chest, and it would almost knock them out. These guys are so strong, they could knock them out with just a flick of the wrist.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Probably something.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining us. Mark, what wasn't fake was this Buffs comeback win over USC the other night. They were down 37-24, but they just came storming back. They end up outscoring the Trojans 44-21. That was a desperately needed victory for the Buffaloes.
Yeah, it really was, and for obvious reasons. I mean, you know, the Buffs, the injuries decimated them over that stretch. And yeah, I know Tristan came back, and then Cody came back, but you know, you could tell they were still kicking some rust off, and so they had the one loss to Arizona. Listen, that was one of those nights where the Avalanche came down on top of him, and just you know, accept the fact that's happening and move on to the next one. But they had a couple of one possession games at Arizona State, and then at Cal. By the way, I'm glad I never have to go back to Cal and call a basketball game again. You know, it's always interesting in certain venues, why they become tough for certain teams. And I don't know what it is about Haas Pavilion in Berkeley, California. It's not like they've had a great basketball program, but for whatever reason, the Buffaloes cannot win in that building, and they gave one away, you know, in that contest. So that was extremely disappointing. They needed that one the other night, and it all came down to the defensive end. And I was saying to Tad the other night on a show we were doing together, I said, you know, when you play with high energy on defense, it's undefeated. That always works. And, you know, the bus finally came out in the second half, played with great intensity on defense, and hence pulled that ball game in. Now they got a couple of big ones, obviously, with Oregon and Oregon State coming to town this weekend.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how that one goes tomorrow, and we'll talk about that game in a second. But I want to get your thoughts, too, Mark. Bronny James played in that game. I believe, if I'm not wrong, I thought I heard you. Was that his first start of the year?
It was his first start, and I understand why we bring him up.
Sure.
He is not that talented.
That's kind of what I wanted to get your thoughts. Like, what kind of player is he?
I'll tell you what. I had a coach, and I won't say who, wasn't Tad. I've got a coach in the league that I talk to on a regular basis, and he said, "Mark, I don't think Bronny James is even going to make the all-freshman team in this league."
Wow. Wow.
No. Well, this is a great... I think a great example about what you and I have talked about the hyperbole in sports, where we make stories out of things because of a name or because of a circumstance and not because of reality. He's a fine player. He's a nice player. If his name was Bronny Smith, we'd go, yeah, he's all right. And that's what he is. I mean, look what he's done in the last three games. I think he's like 0-for-14, having scored 2 or 3 points, something like that. That's not an NBA player. I don't know by any stretch. Right now, he does not look like an NBA player. And so it was cool. You know, there was some hype because he was there, and that's about it. I mean, it's just there wasn't much there. I watched him. I thought, yeah, he's a nice enough athlete. I think he could be okay. You know, as a college player, but I don't see an NBA. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe in a couple of years you're going to go, boy, John was totally full of it. But I just don't see an NBA player there at all.
Well, yeah, because the build-up for him was before he ever put on a jersey, and obviously he had some health stuff, but was that he'd go one and done and play with his dad next year. So based on this so far, it sure seems like they're not that, – that's, I wouldn't hold your breath if you want to see Bronny and LeBron play in the NBA at the same time.
No, I don't even see how that's possible. Now, listen, we do understand – a friend, by the way, at a national outlet, let's put it that way, told me that the pressure on them to promote Bronny James is off the charts. Here's a little inside baseball for your listeners out there, where they don't understand how some of this stuff works at times. They are putting pressure on this on the media to promote him because of LeBron. And that's why we're seeing all this stuff out there where it's just nonstop Bronny James this, Bronny James that. It's because of who his father is, not because of how talented he is.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, big one coming up against the Oregon Ducks. The Ducks are, what are they, like 13-3? I think they're undefeated in the conference at this stage. Yep. So a tall task ahead for the Buffaloes, but they have the talent, Mark. I believe they have the talent to beat a lot of teams. Just try to see this team kind of put it all together. Maybe that could happen tomorrow. I don't think it's out of the question.
Oh, no. In fact, I'll be surprised if Colorado's not the favorite in the game by Vegas. They should be. Listen, we get caught up too much in looking at, okay, well, the Buffs lost. Okay, let's look at the circumstances of that. Okay, let's look at their 10-0 at home this season. Their numbers at home are just stupid. Yes, they had the three losses, but let's look at what was going on, the circumstances. Oregon's playing some good basketball right now. Make a mistake about it. Colorado is a top 25 college basketball team when it's healthy, when it's not like everybody else. And listen, look around college basketball. Look what happened last week. Was it like 12 of the top 25 teams got beat?
Yeah.
Again, unlike opponents. I was saying the other night, college basketball is drunk, man. It's drunk.
It feels like it.
Right. It's crazy what's going on out there. And the reason is because of the transfer portal. The other night for Cal, for example, they had six guys that were fourth, fifth, or sixth-year seniors on that team. And that's why you're seeing so much upheaval in college basketball. This is a very winnable basketball game. I'll be very disappointed, in fact, if Colorado does not win this ball game. And that's not a shot at Oregon. They're a quality team, but this is on Colorado's home court. They're going to have a full deck of cards, if you will. Cody's now got a couple of games under his belt. Trueson's got three under his belt. So they're coming back around. Think about how Colorado was playing when everybody was available, how good they were. And that's the team that they when they're full go, they're as good as virtually anybody in the country. When they're down or on the road or something, obviously you see teams have hiccups. But this is not. I'll be stunned if Colorado is not actually a favorite from Vegas' perspective.
Yeah, I don't have a line yet, but I was just looking on ESPN, their little matchup predictor, and you're right. It's like 60% for Buffs at this point.
Yeah, I think so. And Colorado's home numbers, they average about 88, 89 points a game at home. They shoot about 54% at home. They out-rebound. Their numbers are spectacular at home. And I guarantee you, that place is going to be rocking. Right now, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the CU Event Center is going to be packed and exploding because of what's going on between men's and women's basketball. Friday night you got number 2 versus number 3 with UCLA coming to town to take on the number 3 women. So it's a good time to be in Boulder with basketball.
Oh, yeah, the women's basketball team. Holy cow, yeah, basketball's great. It's in the area, in Boulder especially. I mean, it's awesome. Mark, I haven't done this one in a while. Who's winning in a fight, a Buff / Bison or a Duck?
Well, I think that's pretty... I mean, if... Duck happened to walk behind the Bison when he took a crap, right? It'd be all over. let's be honest about it. Speaking of which, I'm at buddy's house. I'm going duck afternoon, so I'm getting ready for Thursday.
I kind of had a feeling you were duck hunting, and I knew. Yeah, you're. So next week, what kind of hunting will you? Or next game, what kind of hunting will you be? I don't have the schedule in front of me.
Well, considering that they play the Beavers this weekend, I. I don't think they trap beavers more like they used to back in the day.
So we got to be careful on that one, huh?
Yeah, I didn't want to go there.
Mark, appreciate it as always, my friend. That thing we started talking about earlier in the show, just keep me in mind. If that happens, I need an autograph of some sort. I just got to happen.
If you show up, though, if we were to do that, you showed up dressed like Goldberg when he wrestled, that'll be my ever stuff.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. I might have something lying around. We'll see.
All right.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, going duck hunting. Angel, it's an obvious question. I have to ask it, though. A bison or a duck, what's winning? Obviously, a bison's winning. But you get a frisky duck, who knows? Peck the eyes out, something like that. Ducks don't really do that, though. What do they have? A sharp beak.
I mean, what if it's like a swarm of ducks?
That's a little unfair, though. Well, I guess they do travel in...
I don't think a swarm
flocks.
Is the right word.
Flock? Flock of ducks? I think it's flock. Maybe ducks are different, though.
A flock, a waddling, a raft, a brood, or a team.
A raft? A raft of ducks. So if a raft of ducks were to come across a lonely bison, I don't know. You get enough of them. You get enough of them, and maybe you can change things. 47 minutes after the hour, I'm going to wrap up this hour. I got Cody Tucker joining us, talking about Wyoming Cowboys. Let's look at quarterbacks in these playoffs. I think a guy like C.J. Stroud has a really interesting story, a very interesting background, kind of rough, obviously, at times. So I'm just fascinated by the storyline surrounding some of these great quarterbacks heading into the divisional round. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Basketball is here, and Bruce is having a ball. Listen to Coach Bruce Dick on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Thousand Foot Crunch.
Dang it.
Who is that? Who is this one?
Switchfoot.
Switchfoot. They were very similar sounding. It's good too. It's like that Christian rock. Is that what that is? Is Switchfoot a Christian band?
The Meant to Live, that song.
It's probably a Christian band. I know Thousand Foot Crunch is. And then obviously Creed, dude. Big Creed guy, Angel? You ever just sit alone and listen to some Creed?
Yeah. Can you take me higher? Absolutely.
You just by yourself?
No.
Oh.
It's memed a lot. Creed is.
It really is, man. Did they catch a bad rap? Or they, like, their first album was actually pretty good, man. It was good. The second two or three was like...
I knew they're popular songs that were like on the radio a lot, but...
Higher. Well, because the lead singer has one of those voices where he just creates letters and words. You know, when he says with arms wide open, he says it with like, with arms wide open. It's like, where did the ER come from? There was it's open, man, but it's open.
That was just the style. You had to go with that. You had to be unique enough.
I think it's so funny. Singers back then, especially, and there's always a little thing. You hear that with certain singers, but singers were like, that was the thing. We got to create little, like Metallica. You know, he added a vowel at the end of each line in a song. You know, it's like a whiskey in the jar. That was really fun. That was a different style.
Shredding your vocal cords.
Yeah. but Creed is great. You know, the created R's and stuff. And can you take me higher? Oh, so good. I mean, that stuff will get you going. Those were the days. Their first album, though. Those are the... like the non-favorites. They weren't popular. That's where it is. Go check it out.
Check it out.
Tell me what you think. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. How much do you know about like C.J. Stroud's story? He has a really unique story. His backstory.
He played at Ohio State.
Okay.
I believe he transferred there from somewhere. I
think so, yeah.
I don't know. I know he's very strong in his faith. I know that.
Well, so... his dad used to be a minister, but got into some issues. He's currently serving a 38-year prison sentence in upstate California. Back in 2015, he pleaded guilty to charges of carjacking, kidnapping, robbery, and misdemeanor sexual battery, stemming from a drug-related incident that ended with his evading police by jumping into the San Diego Bay.
My goodness.
This was all while CJ was 13 years old, so he had issues there. He was the bread, so the father was the breadwinner of the family. It was a family of six. So CJ had four siblings, and then they lived with mom, obviously. They were in financial ruins after this, really struggled. It did destroy the relationship with CJ and his dad, Coleridge. He was the youngest. He was the baby. They were almost homeless. I think they were very close to being homeless. They lived in an apartment above, I think it was like above like a storage facility or something. It was like above it. Couldn't afford new cleats, so he constantly had blisters. So he'd wear the same cleats every year. He needed contacts. He couldn't see very well. He lost one, couldn't afford to get a new one. So he would play games with one contact lens. I think that one's kind of cool. You know how he studied videos? They couldn't afford a coach. Like all these great quarterbacks in the NFL had coaches. It's not just Russell Wilson who hires one when he's playing for the Broncos. He couldn't afford that kind of stuff. He didn't have one-on-one coaching. So he just watched YouTube videos. He studied YouTube videos on how to be a better quarterback. He didn't really eat good, nutritious food. He didn't get a lot of great stuff there. But he was a stud. He was good. He was a wonderful athlete, just gifted in that area.
He did not transfer to Ohio State. He committed there and stayed there.
Committed there and stayed there. Okay. However, I do think now he's kind of, and maybe correct me on this, but he's kind of like promoting that his dad should be free, which I think is interesting. Tanner and I were talking about this morning, and he's like, really? I mean, look at all the things the guy did. Well, if he's really strong in his faith, Angel, then he's about forgiveness, and maybe he forgave his father.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look into it, but I'm sure he's communicated with him in the last 30-some years.
Yeah, I would imagine.
He's not 30 years old, but
no,
CJ isn't.
Is he 22, probably?
I'm old.
Yeah, that's how you know, man. Now look, so you're at that stage, Angel. You're at the stage where the rookies are coming in, and you're older than them. I'm at the stage where I'm the same age as the coach. Some players, some. But I'm at the stage where I'm pretty close to the coaches' ages, the new ones, the rookies.
Wait, I should be getting my second contract.
Yes. 12:57 the time. We got Cody Tucker coming up. More on C.J. Stroud and the quarterbacks in this league. Should be a jam-packed divisional weekend in the NFL. We'll be right back.